This is In Conversation from Apple News. I'm Shamita Basu. Today, the most exciting athletes to know about heading into the Paris Olympics.
Usain Bolt, look at the time, 9.58, world record!
A 9.712, she has done it! Carrie Strug has won the gold medal for the United States team.
Ledecky is one of the finest swims you'll ever see.
Here comes Emily Edberg, she does it! 41.97!
Here comes Lizak, unbelievable at the end, he's done it!
Gail Devers repeats as the 100-meter champion.
There is no one on this planet or any other one that we know of that has ever run that fast.
Oh, my goodness. That was spectacular.
That should be a 10 right there.
Awesome.
Flying start for the Americans.
What's not to love about the Summer Olympics? Those are just some of the greatest moments from my lifetime. And this weekend in Paris, the 2024 Games kick off. That's 2 weeks of jaw-dropping, mind-blowing athleticism. And I've got to say, even for me, a person who's not really big into sports, I get all goosebumpy thinking about these people, these superhumans, gathered in one place at one time because they are the very best of the best on the planet.
That purity of sport and the clean-cut nature of just committing your life to one thing and you're all in and then you can get glory, or you might not get glory, is romantic and it's addictive.
That's Rebecca Lowe, one of the daytime hosts of the 2024 Paris Olympics for NBC. You might recognize her as the host of the NBC Sports Premier League and the co-host of our World Cup podcast, After the Whistle. Rebecca has covered 5 Olympics, and she says there's really nothing like it.
It's like you enter the Olympics NBC bubble. It's like the rest of my life. I mean, I ain't paying any bills when I'm there. I'm not doing anything. Like, nothing else happens in your life except for the Olympic Games when you're there. So I am 24/7 Olympics.
There's a lot to be excited about, especially some of the amazing athletes representing Team USA this year. Sha'Carri Richardson, Simone Biles, Katie Ledecky. These are the goats in their respective sports. And there's many more incredible athletes that maybe aren't on your radar yet. So I called up Rebecca to help guide us through the biggest names and stories to look out for this year. She started by telling me what makes this year's Olympics stand out from recent games.
For this year, it has to be that the first time since 2018, I'm going to be going to an Olympics with everybody else. Mm. We have got the fans back, Shamita. We have got friends going. We have got family coming to sit in the stands. All those great moments have been denied to us the last couple of Olympic Games for the pandemic reason. So there is no doubt that a full stadium, full arena, full of fans excited and backing athletes raises performance. It just does.
Yeah.
So to know that that is all going to come back, I think I'm actually getting chills when I talk about it, to be honest, because I think this is going to be the perfect way for the Olympics to emerge from what was a rough few years.
So there were a bunch of new sports added this year that are going to be exciting to watch. Breakdancing, a lot of people are talking about that. That's new for this year's Summer Games. What are your favorite sports to watch? And not just the big ones. I know lots of people get excited about gymnastics and swimming, and those are fun to watch and easy to get into. What are some of your favorites? Maybe some of your favorite obscure ones.
Oh, good question. Well, I have to say breaking, you mentioned, I interviewed Sunny Choi, who's going to be on Team USA. And what I didn't realize, and I'm assuming 99% of America also won't realize, is that these breakdancers don't know what music is coming on, so therefore cannot pre-choreograph a dance. They freestyle.
The DJ picks a song. We don't know what's going to come on. And then we just go freestyle. So, I mean, some people choreograph a little bit, but we're freestyling a lot of what we do out there.
I said, but how do you know the beat? I mean, not that I know too much about music like that, but how do you know the beat or how long to go or when the music might change? And she said, we don't. They just throw on a song. The DJ throws on a song and we have to. I'm like, that is crazy to me. I think it's going to really be a big, big hit breaking. I do love the skateboarding. I remember watching that in Tokyo. And that, again, I think what I love, Shamita, with these sports is whilst the swimming and the gymnastics and the track and field is kind of that glamour side of the Olympics, and we've all done a little bit of all of those in our life in some capacity, the ones that I love are the ones I'm like, no way on God's earth am I getting on a skateboard. It's just otherworldly. So I love those kind of events for sure. For me, when I saw Simone Biles live in Rio, that was a bucket list moment of I've never seen anything like it in my life. I've never seen anything like that in my life. So that is something I'm really looking forward to witnessing. And also some Katie Ledecky in the pool, who loves to win by, you know, half the length of the pool. And then always the 100 meter final, men's and women's, and especially with Team USA having Noah Lyles and Sha'Carri Richardson. So I just love it all. I'm so excited. I can't tell you.
Well, let's get into it. Let's talk about some of these Olympians, some of these big names that you've already mentioned, and just hear a little more of their stories. So let's start with Simone Biles. It feels like we have to start with her. You have now watched her, you know, live. You've been there to witness the greatness in person. Talk to us a little bit about her journey to Paris 2024. What's happening with her? Where is she at?
So everyone listening will probably remember, because it was, of course, global news, that she had the twisties in Tokyo.
And wow.
Very uncharacteristic vault for Simone, but it looked like she got almost lost in the air.
There's a really stunning upset for the U.S. gymnastics. That's because superstar Simone Biles is out.
Leaving the team heavily favored to win the gold with a silver. Team USA said Simone has withdrawn due to a medical issue. She says she wasn't in the right headspace to compete and withdrew to protect herself.
There was a big backlash against Simone in Tokyo for pulling out of events, which I think was a lot down to ignorance, in that a lot of people just didn't know what she was dealing with. And that, you know, lack of knowledge does lead to ignorance. But I think over the years, she's been very vocal about her story.
At that point, it's like, you know what? I need to take care of myself and I need to do what's right for my team. And yeah, I need to let my pride not get in the way and push through this just to compete at the Olympics again. I need to go sit down, take a rest, see what's wrong mentally, and let's figure it out. But let's still give my team a chance of medal contention.
When she gives interviews, she talks about Thursdays. Thursdays are my self-care day.
Yeah, being in a good mental spot, seeing my therapist every Thursday, it's kind of religious for me. So that's why I'm here today.
And actually, would you believe her schedule in Paris means that she has Thursdays off. So Thursdays in Paris will continue to be her self-care day and her therapy day. Now, if you'd said 10 years ago that an athlete was having a self-care day on a Thursday, I think you'd have been laughed out of town. I think the world has moved on, and she's been actually a big part of moving that world in our industry of sport on by being so vocal about her mental challenges. So her story, she stopped competing for a couple of years, got married, lots of happiness in her life, decided to come back to it. She's 27, let's not forget. Lots of these gymnasts are teenagers. So she's pretty old where that's concerned.
Yeah, she's old by gymnast standards, right?
Absolutely. She got 4 golds in Rio. Of course, everything that happened in Tokyo, she got a silver in the team and she got a bronze in the balance beam, but it just was obviously nowhere near where she wanted to be and where everybody expected her to be as the poster child, the face of Tokyo. And the other thing to know about Simone is that she has a rival. And bearing in mind, she herself has done interviews over the years talking about how her only rival has been herself, because if everybody else is so far behind you, you can only compete against your own world record or your own personal best.
Yeah, sure.
Which is so interesting and also requires a real strength mentally, I think, to go against yourself. Well, now she has a Brazilian lady, Rebeca Andrade. She is really good. She is going to be a genuine rival. I mean, when I say genuine rival, as much as anybody is a genuine rival to Simone. But I think what Simone Biles has shown is that her ability mentally now to be so strong is going to serve her so well with a rival. Because if you think she's good with nobody against her, imagine what she's going to be like when she's pushed by somebody who just might challenge her a little bit. And I think that's going to be a fascinating contest to watch.
I saw her floor routine from the Olympic trials, and I saw that she had, it started with a Taylor Swift song, Ready For It.
Triple double, hardest tumbling path in the entire world right there.
And I saw Taylor Swift responded to her on X, I think, and said something like, wow, I'm not ready for it, but clearly she is. Like, look at her, right? It was such a fun little moment. I mean, it was just a reminder of in my mind, it was like worlds colliding, right? Like greatest of all time in their field, super, super dominant, big, big names. And then just the way for them to kind of rub up against each other in the digital space. And just a reminder that, you know, everybody is watching. Everybody is watching.
And it's that that I love the most, because like you said, everyone's watching. And by the way, if Taylor Swift is saying she's going to watch the gymnastics, NBC have just got another couple of million viewers, right?
Yeah, but sure.
It's this kind of bonding thing that I think as a country, America misses out on sometimes because of its sheer size. And that I think is going to be so special to know that back home, everyone is watching. It's going to be the talk of the water cooler for 2 weeks. And I love that.
So what is the event to watch for Simone Biles?
I think she wants to win the team. That's what she wants. She obviously feels she let down, you know, the other ladies. Of course, she didn't back in Tokyo.
I think it was really hard on them because mentally they lost their best player, the veteran. Like, I think it was really hard on them. So that's something that I'll never forgive myself for.
And I think that to her, I know that's her absolute number one. I think the floor routine for me is my favorite because also the height. Did you see all those memes that were going viral about that she was 12 feet off the air? Now, yes, the floor is slightly sprung, but it's not a trampoline. And she's 4 foot, whatever she is. And yeah, she was 12 feet in the air off her own feet. I mean, what is that about? It's superhuman. So for me, it's the floor routine. Yeah. But she, I know she wants to win the team event.
Have you seen this? I've been seeing these videos. This is just for fun videos, but AI-generated gymnastics videos.
Oh, God.
It starts as a person on a balance beam, but then it just becomes this, like, jumble of limbs, and it's actually really weird and disturbing to watch, but it kind of underscores when you watch someone do it in reality, it's like you don't need to create an AI version of this. It's already unbelievable.
I think somebody was saying the other day on a podcast for the Olympics how what really they should do is in the swimming pool, for example, they should have a lane for just a normal person. And then they should do the same thing on the running track. Just have a lane for a normal person and then just see the difference. Because I think we all get accustomed to seeing the Michael Phelps and you know, all those amazing athletes, and people don't realize how quick they're going. People don't, quite simply put.
That's a really funny
idea. Imagine a regular person running the 100 meters. It'd be absolutely hilarious.
Let's talk about another superhuman that's going to be there.
Okay.
Katie Ledecky.
Oh, my gosh.
As you mentioned, just the optics of seeing her in a pool and the cameras on her, and no one else is even in the frame because she is so far ahead of everyone.
Dan, the lead is 5.5 seconds.
It's just gotten more and more. She's added to it.
It's over.
It's a little reminiscent, Reddy. And I, you know, all those years ago in London, our jaws were dropping as we thought that she went out too fast. And here we are 11 years later, and she's doing the same thing.
What are we watching for this time? What is she up against in Paris?
So she's up against it because she's just that much older and she has nothing to prove. Katie Ledecky has zero left to prove.
Katie Ledecky has won more individual medals than any other female Olympic swimmer ever, including 7 of the gold variety.
The one thing I'm really interested with her this year is that she could become the first woman in history to win the same individual event at 4 straight Olympic Games, and that's the 800-meter freestyle. That is quite the accolade. I would have thought that's probably her number one priority. The Australian team, they have a lot of fantastic swimmers, and they have been closing the gap. And Katie has obviously been aging. I mean, it's normal. Rio was off the charts, so was Tokyo for her. So I don't expect as many medals as those 2 Olympic Games, but I think the 800-meter freestyle, which is very much, they might as well call it the Ledecky race. I mean, it's just hers. That would be quite something to become the first woman in history to win any individual event in 4 straight Olympic Games. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I love about Katie is she goes under the radar. And maybe that's a bad thing to some people in that she's not on every commercial and she's not all over social media and she doesn't have 10 million followers.
Yeah, you mean between the games, she's kind of low key.
Yeah, between the games, she's incredibly low key. And when she'll come, and I'm lucky to have interviewed her many times, and she's incredibly low key as a person. She just wants to swim and win medals.
I love training. I always say I love training almost more than I love the racing, which I think is a little unique. I just love getting to practice early, doing all the work, and I've been like that since I was really, really young.
So the respect I have for her is off the charts. Can't wait to watch her.
So who's her biggest competition? Who might be actually entering the frame? Anyone coming close?
So the biggest rival, and she was a big rival as well, Shimita, in Tokyo, is Ariana Titmus from Australia. She is a beast. She is incredible. And she's broken some of Katie's world records. She's beaten Katie at times.
Here comes Titmus!
She is going to be the one that is, she's younger than Katie. She is going to really be the challenge. But overall, can Australia really challenge Team USA in terms of number of medals? That's the rivalry to watch in the pool.
That's the question, yeah. Well, next, let's talk about big name in track, Sha'Carri Richardson. Now, she dropped a world-leading time in the 100 meter in the Olympic trials just last month. She is currently considered the fastest woman on Earth. If that's not enough, she was also on the cover of Vogue's August digital issue.
I know.
But her journey to the Olympics has been a bit rocky.
It's official. The fastest woman in America, Sha'Carri Richardson, will not be competing in any events at the Tokyo Olympics.
The 21-year-old was suspended for a month after testing positive for marijuana.
The U.S. Anti-Doping Agency confirmed that Richardson would be disqualified from her event of the 100 meters.
The 21-year-old explaining the lapse came after learning her biological mother had died.
I want to take responsibility for my actions. I know what I did. I know what I'm supposed to do. I'm allowed not to do. And I still made that decision, but not making an excuse or looking for any empathy in my case.
You know, I think that these athletes are like you and I. We all have our issues outside of our job. And she made a mistake, and she takes full responsibility for that. I mean, imagine, she was the 100 meter favorite or one of going into Tokyo. Imagine missing out on that. That would have been her first Olympic Games. I can't imagine the disappointment and where mentally you have to come back from. What I love about her is her phrase, "I'm not back, I'm better."
And I'm ready mentally, physically, and emotionally. Yeah. And I'm here to stay. I'm not back, I'm better.
And that tells you everything you need to know. She's really defied the odds to get where she is today. She's 5'1" and she is the fastest woman on earth. She ran 10.65 seconds at the World Championships in Budapest last August. 10.65, it wasn't that long ago that the men were running 10 seconds plus. So I think she will be probably the standout superstar of these games.
Let's stay on track and field for a bit. Who are some of the other names to watch, people that you're excited about in track and field?
The one name that springs to mind immediately is Noah Lyles. He does 100 and 200. He could win both. He is a character. You think Sha'Carri Richardson's a character. Noah Lyles, I was lucky enough to meet him in Orlando a year or so ago. We did a Premier League fan fest there. And he came on the stage. He knew nothing about Premier League, nothing about soccer. And when he walked on the stage, it was like you knew you were in the company of a superstar.
To be honest, at the end of the day, I'm a showman.
He's gonna go.
And Arsenal sounded really good. But I gotta go with the all-time winners. I'm gonna have to go with Manchester United.
He just has that vibe, he has that aura. And he also has that confidence that is so massive that lots of people straight away say, oh, he's arrogant. I just love the confidence. I don't. I mean, he's the world's fastest man. He's fine. He can do what he wants, in my opinion. If you saw him at trials, and if you didn't, you should go back on Peacock and just watch the 100 meters final for the men's, because the way he comes out when the loudspeaker introduces him, the way he moves, the way he works the crowd is what we need, I think, in track and field. And then when he wins, he's like all over the place. He loves it.
What does this moment mean? And you're on the way down to the Olympics.
Part of the plan. Yeah. Nothing changed. Nothing changed. Might be a shock to everybody else, but when you know the goal, you know the goal.
That is what gives people joy, I think, to see somebody, it means so much to him. Uh-huh. And to see that exuberance in sport, I love. So I would say that as well as Sha'Carri Richardson, Noah Lyles, definitely gold in the 100, probably also in the 200, is where the eyeballs are going to be.
Yeah. And I know that he's talked about how he really hopes to beat Usain Bolt's record in the 100 and 200. Do you think he has a good shot of doing that this year?
Oh, I don't think so. He's never done it. Maybe he's saving his best for it. Who knows? I remember being in the stadium. It was in Rio. And I watched Usain Bolt run the 200 meter final. It was like watching a car. Literally, it was like watching a car on a track. It was incredible.
Amazing.
I don't think he's at that level, Noah Lyles. But I prepare, you know, and hope to be proved wrong. So you've got to make sure you clear your diary and watch both Richardson and Lyles.
So just a reality check here. We have talked about some of the biggest names in the sports. These are the biggest stars, the people who have all these sponsorship deals. But that's just not the reality for most athletes, even the ones who make it to the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us the story of the American badminton twins?
There's some twin sisters, the Shu twins, and they are incredible and could well get a medal at the Olympic Games. I read an article the other day where even their coach sometimes, because they're identical, so the coach sometimes doesn't know which one's having a bad game because he's just, I don't know which one you are. I don't know what's going on. They're like properly identical. So they are the doubles, obviously doubles team. They actually have a really interesting story. They are, I think they work in public auditing by day, or certainly did. During the pandemic, they decided that they were going to leave their jobs, take a leave of absence after the once sort of the pandemic had sort of slowed down a bit and go again, because they'd done badminton for years and were really, really good right up to the pandemic. And then they didn't pick up a racket for 2 years. They decided, no, we're going to do it again and try and get for our dream of the Olympics, which is pretty amazing that they only started training again. Yeah. In summer of 2022, and all self-funded, by the way. That's another thing with some of these lesser, less sexy sports. They're doing GoFundMe to even get on a plane to go to Paris. They fund their own travel with these kind of events around the world that they're trying to get their Olympic qualification for. They've paid themselves. They don't have the sponsors that Sha'Carri Richardson and Noah Lyles have. And their mission is very much to grow and promote the sport. And I think if they can get a medal in Paris, that is obviously going to do a huge job for them. And they are going to be one of the favorites. So yeah, Kerry and Annie Hsu, look out for them in the badminton court. That's for certain.
Well, now, I couldn't talk to you without bringing up soccer. So let's talk about the U.S. women's national soccer team. Yes. They struggled in the World Cup last year.
Yep.
What do we expect is going to happen this summer? Could this be a redemption moment for them? Just tell us, where is the team at right now?
Well, it's been a couple of months since the new head coach came in. They fired Vlatko after the last World Cup because it was so bad, and took him a while, but they hired a woman who has won everything in the domestic game in England. Her name is Emma Hayes. She is brilliant. It was a brilliant hire, came at the right time for her, and I think it's come at the right time for the US women's national team.
I want to focus on the process. I want to focus on the performance. I want to get to know the players. I want to make sure that in the limited time we have together, we make the most of it. And for me, pressure is a huge privilege. Mm-hmm. We get the opportunity to go to the Olympics, and my focus is to make sure that everybody is as prepared as possibly can be.
But she's only had a couple of months. She's only had a few friendlies. She hasn't had that long, but she has made changes. The biggest one being she has left Alex Morgan out of the Olympic Games. And it looks, therefore, like Alex Morgan's career as a US women's national team player has come to an end. It has to at some point. She just turned 35. It's okay. It is sad, of course, because she has been the face of the US women's national team for nearly two decades.
Sure.
And the great things she has done. But she's won everything. She's given her heart and soul, and she's taken it on and off the field into entire other areas. Emma Hayes had to go in a new direction because Alex Morgan is not the future anymore. So she had to go with the future. And the likes of Sophia Smith and Mallory Swanson up front and Jaden Shaw and Trinity Rodman, these youngsters who are all so incredibly talented, that's now who she has to build the team around. She still has some experienced members, Lindsay Horan, Rose Lavelle, the goalkeeper, Alyssa Nea. So she has some experience in there as well. I wonder if the Olympics has come a little bit too soon for us to see a real comeback from the United States. It's been a year since the World Cup. It's going to be a huge challenge. It always is at the Olympic Games. Canada, Brazil, Great Britain, all these teams who do so well and have all caught up so much. And I just think it'll be a test to see whether Emma Hayes has managed in the short time she's been in the role to take this team forward. We'll see. I have high hopes. I think it is time to go in a new direction, new coach, new generation. It's time to go. I don't expect them to win gold, but they might. They just might, because Emma Hayes has got it. That is for certain.
Now, I can't help but notice, as we've been talking and I've been asking you about which athletes you're most excited about watching, most of the people you've named are women. This is a big year for women at the Olympics. It will be the first Olympics ever to achieve full gender parity, which is equal representation of both men and women on the field of play, which I'm actually pretty shocked that it took this long for there to have been gender parity.
Yeah.
Women's sports just in general are exploding right now in popularity. Can you talk about how significant this is for this year's Olympics?
Yeah, and I think the other thing we have to remember is that when you look at the medal count at the end of the last few Olympic Games, women outdo the men for Team USA. So they are more than paying their way. They are more than representing. There are more medal winners, female than male, for Team USA. You know, I don't want to make it a kind of women against men thing, but as you say, you know, women have worked very hard to get to any kind of parity in any part of their life, in any industry. We are all doing it, unfortunately, still every single day. And when you look at the viewing figures for NBC and you work out the male to female ratio on that, it's more female than male who watch the Olympic Games. Mm. So I actually think that this is a really nice coming together, a really nice moment. I also think that it's just another step towards getting to a place where everything is really equal, you know, where everything really does feel on a level playing field.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought up the medals, because like you said, it's not about parity on paper. It's about performance, and it's about recognizing the best of the best and the best living athletes on earth right now. That's what it's about.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. And I think there is also a deep human desire to be the best. Most people have it. And when you witness greatness and you actually see somebody get to the top of the top of the top, which is the Olympic gold medal, it's quite a base human emotion, I think. It's quite a kind of, I think we can all relate to that. You know, if we've won a race when we were a kid, or we haven't won a race when we were a kid, if we failed this or we excelled at that, it's very base, I think, for humans to want to not fail and be the best of the best. And very few of us can ever be the best at what we do in life. So to witness that on television, the people becoming the best of the best, is really special. That purity of sport and the clean-cut nature of just committing your life to one thing, and you're all in, and then you can get glory, or you might not get glory, is romantic and it's addictive. And you will fall in love with Team USA and these incredible humans. And I promise you, you won't regret any second that you watch the Olympic Games.
Well, Rebecca, good luck covering all the games. Wishing you a really good time. It sounds like you're just going to feed off the energy, and I hope you enjoy Paris and all that the Olympics has to offer.
Thanks, Shamita. And it's lovely talking to you again.
Rebecca Lowe is a daytime host of the 2024 Paris Olympics for NBC. She's also the host of our World Cup podcast, After the Whistle. There are so many other great American athletes to watch that we didn't get a chance to talk about. Caleb Dressel, Scottie Scheffler, Asia Wilson, and American flag bearers Coco Gauff and LeBron James. You can follow them all and get curated coverage of all the action from Paris in the Apple News app.